For most people, their finances aren't one big problem. It's 100 small ones. A retirement account from a job 5 years ago. A budget that lives in your head, but never on paper. Life insurance that you meant to look into. A will half finished or not even started. And the longer you leave those loose ends untied, the harder it becomes to move forward with peace of mind. At Dominion Wealth, we walk with you step by step to help you tie it all together. We meet you where you are. We listen. We get your financial picture out of your head and into practice. Then we build a strategy to meet your needs now, prepare for your future, and bless the next generation. We don't pressure you. We give biblical, honest guidance. Let the strategy follow your values and help find the right solutions. If your financial path feels uncertain, let's get together one-on-one and get you on the right track. Book a free consultation today. We are here to help you get your finances in order so you can feel confident about the future. From baptism to burial, Dominion's got you covered. You can find us at reform.money.
I would say if the authorities didn't want us involved in the public square, they ought not to have crucified Jesus in the public square.
Use humanistic principles.
Well, I would say,
Dan, same idea.
I would say
same
that.
Answer.
I would say, what's the problem with stardust bumping into stardust?
In the cosmic picture, no, there's no problem. In the cosmic picture, it won't matter.
No, Mr. President, you are not protecting reproductive freedom. You are authorizing the destruction of freedom for 1 million little human beings every year.
I'm sorry, my friends, but I am tired of seeing Jesus presented as a weak beggar. He is a powerful Savior, and the gospel is not a suggestion, it is a command.
Reverend Mola, don't you sympathize with that?
I sympathize with every single human heart wishing to know the one true and living God, but I believe there's only one way that can happen, through Jesus Christ, and the gospel is about repenting of sin, not celebrating it.
Adventure. We will explore the spiritual abyss. You have not experienced this before. You're gonna love it.
Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. That's James chapter 1, verse 27. Everybody, welcome to another episode of Apologia Radio. Welcome, everybody. Make sure you guys do all the things, click all the buttons, and send this out across the world. A very encouraging show today. The program is about a miracle story. It is about one that is very close and personal to me. It is about the story of my son Augustine and his adoption, and of course, many of you guys have heard of his miracle healing, something that we did not ultimately anticipate to happen the way that it did. It was such a big surprise to all of us, and so I hope this particular show, very different than usual, we're going to do something that is a highlight of a story that glorifies God, and it's really an amazing story. So you're going to see today on this episode, you're going to see never before seen footage, behind the scenes stuff with my wife and I, stuff leading up to the adoption itself and up to the healing. I'm going to show you some footage of what took place really moments after we witnessed the healing ourselves in the post-op room at the hospital. And so I hope you guys enjoy this episode. It's going to be a blessing for me to be able to talk about. And I think my son Augustine is actually going to be watching the show today. So August, if you're watching, I love you. And what's up? Okay, so everybody, if you're new here, go to apologiastudios.com. That's APOLOGIA studios.com. Apologiastudios.com is where you go to get all the past episodes. You can get all the episodes, whether it is Provoked, Sheologians, Cultish, Apologia Radio, years and years of content for your listening pleasure. You can also sign up for all access at apologiastudios.com. When you do that, you partner with us in this ministry. So the gospel going out all over the world, tens of thousands of babies being saved, people coming to Christ out of the cults, out of atheism, secularism, the debates, everything going on is because of people just like you who are part of this ministry with us. And so we're thankful for you. And when you sign up for All Access, you get all kinds of additional content, the full episodes of Collision, the after shows, the Apologia Academy, everything is there for you at ApologiaStudios.com. And so, I'm sorry. My tech, we have sound coming out of all kinds of crazy places right now. All right, so ApologiaStudios.com, ApologiaStudio. Okay, so I'll just go ahead. Just go ahead and say it again. Huh? Oh, my. Is that what it is? Okay, so it turns out it's actually my fault, everyone. So sorry about that. That was a weird technical issue we never had before. So welcome back. It's totally my fault. All right, so getting into the story of the adoption of Augustine, it was something that really took us by surprise. Now, everybody knows that we have a ministry, we've done it for a very long time as a church body, just our own church, where we go to the abortion mills, we preach the gospel, we offer help and hope and love to mothers and fathers going inside, and we even offer to adopt babies. And we've even received lots of messages over the years from loving, amazing Christian families who have said, hey, just so you know, my family is available to adopt if something comes up. If a mother turns away from the mill and says that they want to adopt their baby out, we're available. And it's just such a sweet and amazing thing to see those messages come in. The challenge is at times, and you've heard me say this before, we'll go to preach the gospel at the abortion mill, and we'll offer to even adopt the baby. And the most common response from really everybody is they'll turn around. If they say something to us, they'll say, I can never give my baby up for adoption. And then they'll turn around, go inside, and end the life of their child. And so it's obviously very disheartening and discouraging. It's very sad. And so there aren't a lot of adoptions coming from abortion mills. I did get to meet such a beautiful, beautiful baby last year while I was in Texas. Good friend of mine, it actually happened. The abortion mill, the preaching and all that stuff. And then one of the mothers said yes. And so I got to meet this just gorgeous little beautiful baby in Texas, and that was a blessing to see. But it's rare, it's few and far between. So we don't get this a lot at Apologia, right? Like you would think, maybe. We have a lot of opportunities for adoption that come up, but we actually don't get them. And so this was in 2019, just before Reformation Day, and or Halloween. And the week before, we were prepping for our End Abortion Now conference and our ReformCon 2019 conference. And that week, just oddly, out of nowhere, we had three separate women that got connected to the church, came to the church, and offered adoption. So now we've got this very, very busy week. I mean, it's kind of chaos putting really what was two conferences on over a weekend and managing all of that. And so it's hectic and it's difficult. And you've got all the regular responsibilities with church and family going on. So it was a lot to juggle. And now we have three women presented to us. And so we weren't really ready for this. And so we're very surprised by it. And here's what we knew. We didn't know a lot, but here's what we knew. One of the women was carrying a baby that had Down syndrome. And one, we didn't really know much about at all, just that she was wanting to adopt her baby out. And the third woman was carrying a little boy. We knew that in the womb. It was about a month and a half or so away from birth. And we were told that the little boy in the womb had spina bifida. Now, from what I understand, I'm not an expert in this at all. From what I understand, there's basically like four different spectrum of four on the spina bifida spectrum in terms of like, you know, best case scenario, worst case scenario. And what we were told is that this little boy in the womb was on the best side of the worst case of spina bifida. And so there had been a number of ultrasounds, a number of doctor visits. I mean, obviously it was seen as something very serious because this little boy has spina bifida. So there's a lot that went into it, a lot of confirmation. And so we have the ultrasounds and all that. So you can see this big black hole, this spine open. And so we were told that this mother wanted to adopt the little boy out and that another family had basically been involved in the process, but because he had spina bifida and they live like 3 hours away from the nearest hospital, they had to essentially bow out of the process because they weren't the best fit for the family. And so the birth mom and a friend named Tabitha, who actually saved his life, actually got a hold of us. And we discovered again that he had spina bifida, and we were also told that he was probably going to need a brain shunt, and he was going to need some work on his feet for club feet. And so there was just a number of things that were really, really physically wrong. And so that's what we knew. We didn't know really anything else at first that was presented to us. And so that week, we've always been open to adoption, but we weren't actively pursuing it. We were open to adoption. And so that week, this was presented to us, and my wife is the one who was really bringing all the information and communicating with everybody about all these things. And so what was interesting is that we've always been, as a family, open to adoption and willing to adopt, and we love children. But the first baby presented, my wife wanted to ask my family, how do you feel about that? And so I wasn't doing much talking at all about any of it, because I was just sort of being prayerful. And at the same time, we had this big week and all this stuff going on. And so my wife was really asking all the questions. And so she asked, you know, my daughter, well, how would you feel about this little girl with Down syndrome, about adopting her? And it was interesting because my daughter is so, so sweet. She's just amazing. I love her so much. There was something just not sitting right with her. Like, she was just like, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, she just wasn't there. And so, okay, so something like that, you have to have your whole family involved, because those kind of disabilities or even physical disabilities are things that the entire family would need to manage as life goes on. And that child grows up into an adult. And so I was like, okay, all right, maybe that's not going to work. And again, we didn't know much about the second child at all. But then the third one was something that we were just like, okay, well, how do we take care of this? How do we help with this situation? So my wife really is coming to me. And she, from the beginning, it was like the Lord put it onto her mind and to her heart that this is your son. And so from the beginning, she was really communicating to me that she really felt that the Lord was calling us to adopt this little boy and to make him our son. And I was, at the time, just really struggling. I was struggling because of just not the issue of adoption, but the issue of, okay, but does that mean that it's us? Because this little boy, maybe there's something different that would be more suitable. And so, you know, thinking about myself being very, very selfish at the time, and that's exactly what it was selfishness and sin. I was thinking about, well, the Lord has us doing all of this stuff. We have my duties as a pastor to our church body, and that regular ongoing every day and night thing, and that service to God. Then you have all of the other things the Lord is calling us to. You have specifically End Abortion Now and all of the weight of that ministry that we've committed to as a family and we want to sacrifice our lives for. And so I was just thinking really very selfishly, saying, well, how would we manage something like that as a family? How could we take that on? Because we were being told that when this baby boy was delivered, that it was so serious that nobody would even be able to touch him. They would take him immediately from delivery to the NICU, prep him for surgery, because they would need to close his back up. They would have to work on the brain shunt and all the stuff. And we were told it was going to be between 2 to 6 weeks of surgery in the hospital right after he was born. And it was just a lot to take in. And so that week, because I was busy with the conference stuff and regular church stuff and family stuff, I was kind of keeping really quiet about it and just really being distant from it, saying, I just don't know. Let's just be prayerful about it. And so as time was going on, it got more and more intense. We then learned and discovered that the adoption with this little boy in the womb with spina bifida, the decision needed to be made very, very soon. Like, we were told within days. Because there were issues with the state would get involved, and that would just throw the whole process off. Right now it was going to be a private adoption, but if we waited, we were basically facing a deadline where nobody was going to be able to adopt this little boy in this way. It would just become a state issue. And so, you know, we're pressed up against this now, and now the conference is going on. My wife was so very sweet to me, so very gracious, so very patient with me that week. She was so gentle about the whole thing, but she was just nudging me the whole time. Well, you need to be praying about this. And I really feel that the Lord is calling us to do this. And it was just amazing because she had just this weird supernatural strength and confidence about this. And it's a strange thing to have so much confidence about. It's a strange thing to be so courageous about. to, as a mother who already has children, and at this point, grandchildren, to be saying, yes, let's take on this very, very, very difficult thing that will be difficult for the rest of our lives. And she just had so much confidence and so much peace. But I was ultimately just looking inward. And so I'm trying to manage personally a lot of things that were going on at the time. And my wife had this just weird strength about the whole thing. And she wasn't being anything other than encouraging and gracious and peaceable about the whole thing, but just saying, you need to be praying about this. And so now we get to the conference. I'm doing my best to keep distance from all of this because I'm being prayerful. And honestly, just to be transparent, I was scared. And so that morning of the End Abortion Now conference, that Saturday, I knew we needed to make a decision very, very soon. That Saturday, I woke up and I had this very unusual, strange feeling. And it felt like I was carrying a weight. And I didn't know why exactly. All I knew was that I felt like something was wrong. I felt like things were completely out of order. And I just felt this in this very confused state of, I don't know what's wrong with me. Now, I have to preach a sermon for the End Abortion Now conference that day. And so I did not feel like everything was right. Something was wrong. So I'm sitting there with this just heavy weight on my soul, but I can't put my finger on exactly what it is. I didn't understand why I felt this way. And so go to the conference and I'm there and, you know, I'm sort of present physically, but not mentally and emotionally, spiritually. Something is not right. And so Pastor Luke comes to me at some point during the day, shortly before I had to go up to preach the message that I had prepared for the conference. And he's like, hey man, you ready to go? And I said, no. And he just kind of stopped in his tracks. He's like, what's up? And I was like, I don't know. Something's wrong. And he was confused. He's like, what's wrong? I said, I don't know, man. Just pray for me. I don't know. And so that was the end of that conversation. And then, you know, getting closer to the time of preaching the message, and then Pastor Zach comes to me, cross paths, and he's like, hey, you ready? And I said, no. And he stopped too. He was like, what's wrong? I said, I don't know what's wrong with me. Please pray for me. Something's wrong. And he's like, okay, absolutely. And I think he prayed for me there on the spot. And so I'm going throughout that entire day with this incredible weight, confusion. I don't know what's wrong. I can't put my finger on it. And so I don't necessarily like to share this video, but since we're telling the story of Augustine, I'm going to share it. This whole sermon here is just a wreck. I ended up not preaching the sermon that I had prepared. There's 42 minutes here of speaking, and this is not the sermon that I had prepared. And so that's what happened this day. And so what you're seeing here is I feel this incredible weight. I'm confused. I don't know what's wrong with me. And now I have to go up to preach a sermon that I've prepared, and I am not in a place where I feel like I can even do it. And again, I wouldn't normally just share this video across social media. Honestly, it's a little embarrassing because it's just a mess. But here is what happened after that conversation with Pastor Zach. I'll play just a minute or two of this, and you'll see the state of my soul at this moment. Isaiah chapter 1. And let's pray. Father, help me to communicate your word and your truth to your people. Let me be forgotten, Christ remembered and glorified. Father, please don't let these be the words of a mere man about such an important issue, Lord, that is so far above our ability in ourselves to defeat. Lord, I can't do. I do not have the skills or abilities. I don't have the power to change anyone's mind, to give them courage, to give anybody any hope for the future and myself. And so, God, I pray that you'd move by your Spirit here among us today to challenge, convict, rebuke. Lord, bring repentance.
pray, Lord, that your word would go forth and bring life. And Lord, find our deepest, most secret hiding places, God, and expose them. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah chapter 1, starting at verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says Yahweh. I've had enough of burnt offerings. I've had enough of burnt offerings of the rams. And the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? God says, bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath, and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity in solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. God says, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves and make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord.
So, I just realized at the beginning of that, that the prayer was to expose like our own sin and the stuff we were hiding. And yeah, I haven't seen that. And so it was, what you saw there was me realizing, because I brought this passage. If you've seen me in any state across the nation doing rallies or speaking at churches or pastors' meetings to get them to support bills of abolition, all the rest, you've heard me bring that text because I think it's one of the most important things for us to hear as a church related to the issue of abortion. And so what you witnessed there was me realizing, even though I've read this before, countless churches and pastors and rallies me realizing that I'm such a hypocrite. That's what I realized when that moment happened. I'm reading the text and I realized I'm such a hypocrite. I am such a hypocrite because I've read this verse, these verses to so many pastors and so many Christians about, you know, God's not impressed with all the stuff that you're doing if you're not caring for these fatherless children. That's what hit me. So here I am trying to keep distance from this issue because I'm asking questions that are just selfish in nature. How would I do this? How would we do this? How would I accomplish all these things that God wants me to accomplish? And that would be so hard and so difficult. You know, are you sure that we're the right ones? And then I'm coming up now to like stand behind a pulpit to talk to Christians about sacrificing and for the sake of these fatherless children. And now I have one presented to me that's going to come with so many challenges, and all I can do is think about myself and how would I do this? And this is going to be so hard. And why are you asking me to do this, God? And so that's what you witnessed. And so that's why the, you know, emotion was so present and so obvious there. Now, what I learned later was there was a dirty little trick that my wife and Desi, who's in Provoked, we're doing that morning. And I say that, you know, playfully. But that morning, Desi and my wife, Candy, were praying that the Lord would put a heavy burden on the father of this little boy. And so that was their prayer that morning, was that God would put a heavy, heavy burden on the father of this little boy. And so now, you know, going backwards and thinking about it, like, that's what I felt all that day, was this heavy weight that I couldn't explain. And so that's, you know, a little behind the scenes of what was taking place that day, that complete, the sermon that I ruined, which is what that was. That's the background of that. So if you guys were present there that day, now you know what was going on in the background in my mind. And what I was struggling with that day was struggling with my own selfishness, my own sin, my own hypocrisy. And it was on stage behind a pulpit, and everyone got to witness that very personal, very private moment. Although it wasn't so private. And so that was, you know, I guess call it miracle number one with this whole adoption of Augustine. And so now after the conference, I realize what was going on in me, and I didn't come right home. And I remember sitting in a parking lot, and either my wife called me or I called her. And I was just, you know, in this weird state, realizing that I was kind of unraveling. And I understood. And I told Candy that I understood what happened there, because she was like, "What's wrong?" And I told her, I realized that, you know, what God is exposing in me. And so that's Saturday. Now, Sunday comes along, and we get, again, remind you that we are up against the clock here because the state's going to get involved. I think we had two or three more days to make the decision so the state stayed out of the adoption, and a decision had to be made. So this, now we're in Sunday. Now, Sunday is the Lord's Day, so Sunday my responsibility is to teach as a pastor the sermon that I've prepared for the to feed the church that week. And so at the same time, now we have to figure out, what are we going to do about this little boy? And so my wife was able to organize a meeting with the birth mom and Tabitha. Tabitha is a lovely, amazing Christian woman that we learned later actually saved Augustine's life. Augustine's alive because of Tabitha's sacrifice. Tabitha knew the birth mom from years back, somehow got connected to her again, ran into her, and found out that the birth mom was pregnant with a little boy with, and it ended up they ended up finding out that he had spina bifida. The birth mom actually had tried to go through the process of abortion. Tabitha stopped her. And then when they found out that August had spina bifida, I'd learned this 3 years later at his third birthday. Tabitha had stood in front of the door of her house because she took the birth mom into her house and said, we're gonna find a Christian family to adopt him. I will pay for all of your needs. I will go to all your doctor's appointments. Do not abort him. And after it was found out that he had spina bifida, Tabitha basically told me that she stood in front of the door for 2 weeks convincing the birth mom not to go through with an abortion and to take his life. And so Tabitha is responsible for saving my son's life. So praise the Lord for Tabitha. But that Sunday, after an Abortion Now conference, my wife is able to connect with Tabitha and the birth mom to say, hey, can we meet before church today so that we can present to all the families at church that want to adopt and are open to adopting, we can present to them the situation so we can get more answers. Now, as we're going to this Starbucks to meet Tabitha and the birth mom before church, my wife Candy basically puts before the Lord, Lord, if this is our son, if that's what you've created him for, if he's our son, then please let me get an answer to all these questions. And so she had specifics. She was prayerful and trusting God with big things. And she was saying to the Lord, Lord, I need answers to all these questions for us to know that it's us. And so we get there, and what was amazing, we sit down, and within 15 minutes, the birth mom just starts spitting out all the answers to Candy's questions before Candy even really asks them. And so that was a big, this is getting interesting. And so we go to church, we worship the Lord that night together, and then all the families met in a private meeting afterwards, and there's a number of different families there, to see who would be the best fit for this little boy in the womb that has spina bifida. And so we're surrounded with just these lovely families at Apologia Church. I'm telling you, it just the best people are at Apologia Church. It's just such a gift to be a part of this body. Sacrificial, so much hospitality, so much love. And so we're sitting with all these lovely families, and we're all trying to say, like, what are the pros and cons of each family taking this little boy? And I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to, at the same time, I'm examining all this, be a good pastor and to be objective. And I'm looking around the room, and one of these precious families already has children, and they have a little girl with spina bifida already. She is, you know, she's wearing the contraptions and everything for the help with her walking, and they're young children, and one has spina bifida as it is. And they're talking about all the pros and the cons. And then look over this next family, and they're saying the pros and the cons. But she's going to deliver in 2 weeks. She already is delivering a baby. So this would be putting on to a family that already has a newborn on the way, this huge weight with another newborn right behind that baby who has these terrible, terribly bad physical issues. And so we're going around the room, and I'm listening listening to the pros and cons. And in my mind, I'm praying, Lord, just make it very clear who the father of the child is. And that's all I'm asking, is God, speak through your people as to who the father of this child is. And so it gets over to Desi now. And Desi is, you know, saying all the pros and the cons, and she's smiling, and she's just so sweet and so precious. Both her and her husband are amazing. And so her face is smiling, and here's what it would look like. Here's how we could do it. And here's what would be hard for us. And then in the middle of just like going on, like smiling about it, then she just stops cold, looks over at me, and I'm asking God, if I'm his father, speak to me through your people and make them tell me. She just stops cold, and she looks over at me, and she says, Jeff, I need to tell you, I think this is your son. Just in the middle of her saying pros and cons, and then she just stops and goes, Jeff, I need to tell you that I think that this is your son. That was a lot. Because what I was asking God is, Lord, you make it so clear to me that I can't miss it, that this is my son, and speak to me through your people. That was my specific prayer. Speak to me through your people and let them tell me. And so that was huge. So we leave church now. Now this is where it gets interesting. So we leave church. I'm praying, God, make it clear that I'm his father, that you are calling me to be his father. We're driving home that night in the car after church, and it's my wife, it's me, it's my daughter, Sailor, and my son, Stellar. It's just us. We shared this conversation with nobody. Nobody heard this conversation. We didn't text it to somebody. We didn't relay the information. It was just Candy, Sailor, and Stellar. We're driving home, and we're talking about the whole thing. And remember, I told you at the beginning, for some reason, my daughter, Sailor, the other one with the little girl with Down syndrome wasn't connecting with her. It wasn't setting with her. And so Candy had been praying, Lord, if this is our son, change my daughter's heart towards him. That's what Candy was praying. Change my daughter's heart towards him so we know that he's our son. Change her heart completely. And so we're in the car, and then Candy brings up the situation with the little boy with spina bifida. And so she asks Sailor, my daughter, she says, well, how do you feel about him? And immediately Sailor answers, absolutely, yes. Yes. And Candy and I look at each other. I'm driving. I'm like, that's a weird instant switch, right? Because she was opposed and saying, I don't know about the other one. And this one just, she switched. And this one was far more complicated. I mean, the other little girl had Down syndrome, and that comes with complications, but not nearly as much as a child that is this physically disabled as the little boy. And Sailor was like, yes, that's my brother. And it was amazing. So we asked my son, Stellar, we're like, what do you think? And he's like, that's my brother. Like, why are we talking about this? That's my brother. So I'm like, wow. And so then Candy says, well, what will we name him? And so I'm just driving along and I'm kind of going along with this now. I kind of lost myself for a second. I went from distance to this thing to now I'm thinking. And so everyone's, you know, talking in the car. And then I said, as the father, I said, I would want to name him Augustine. And then Candy says, well, people would name him August. And I said, I like that. That's good. I'm happy with that. And then all of a sudden, I got my wits about me and I realized we are going a little too far in our minds now with this, maybe a little too far too quickly. And so I was like, well, you know, we don't even know if it's supposed to be us. And so I don't think we should do that yet. You know, let's stop this conversation. And so we had committed as families to fast and pray on Monday and let the Lord reveal who the father of this little boy is. And so it's Sunday night now, and we pray before bed, Candy and I. We said, Lord, if this is our son, make it so clear and speak to us through your people. Speak to us through them. And so we pray that prayer. We go to bed. We're prepared to wake up in the morning and fast and pray along with the other families. And so I wake up, open my eyes, and to my wife sitting on the edge of my bed, which is not usual for her. It's not a normal thing that she does. And so she's sitting at the edge of my bed and I'm trying to get myself together as I'm waking up. And she says, like, good morning. She's like, I've been getting a lot of text messages in. I'm going to read some to you. I was like, okay. And so she starts reading text messages from these other families in our church body who are all joined together with us and fasting and praying as to who the family was and who the father of this little boy is. And so Candy's reading texts and these families are saying, I'm praying, we're praying, I think this is your son. And so then she gets a text from Desi, same Desi that played the dirty little trick of asking God to put a weight on the father. And so, so Desi sends a text message to Candy and Desi says, hey, I've been praying and I think you should name him August. Which dropped my jaw. Just dropped my jaw. That was the name that I had picked and only said once in a private conversation in the car the night before. And I had asked the Lord, Lord, if this is my son, you show me that I'm his father. Make it clear that I'm his father and that's your will. And speak to me through your people. And the next morning, the text message comes in. I've been praying and of course, you know, this is your son, and I think you should name him August. So, of course, my eyes are now filled with tears and overwhelmed, and there's still some work that needs to be done on my heart. So I just get up, I put some clothes on, and I drive to the desert to pray. Now, don't let that throw you and make it sound super spiritual or something. I live in the desert, and I'm literally like a minute and a half away from the mountain and the desert. So I just needed to get alone somewhere for a little bit. And so I go into the desert and I had the most intense time of prayer and crying that I've ever had in my entire life, without question, for about 2 hours. And at the end of that, I knew in my soul what God was saying to me through all the circumstances and all that he has said in his word. And so I came home and I told Candy, he's our son. And now we're committed, but we need to talk to the birth mom now and let her know it's Monday. We have to tell her because we have to stop the process of the state getting involved. And we got to figure out how in the world do you adopt somebody? We don't really know how at this point. Now we do. And now we do, and my wife is amazing at it. She's such a heart for it. So I'm going to play something no one's ever seen before. This was Monday night. This is Candy and I. This is a very intimate moment, okay? So we were unsure if we wanted to share this, but it's such a beautiful story, and it's all to the glory of God, so we'll share it. This is Candy and I calling the birth mom that night because she was waiting for an answer. And now, mind you, the birth mom is about a month and a half away from delivering, and she has a little boy to deliver with spina bifida, and also the state's involved and all this stuff. And so she's prayerful, and she's hopeful, and she's trying to figure out who's going to take this little boy. And so this is the phone call of Candy and I calling the birth mom that night to let her know that we believe God's called us to call him our son.
Hi, Candy. How are you?
Hi, Sara. How are you?
I'm good. Just now, just got picked up in a lift. And
is it a good time right now?
From my class. How are you doing?
I'm good. Is this a good time right now, or do you want to wait till
it's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
Well, after... Well, how are you doing first?
I'm good. The class was nice, and I'm just massaging my belly because it does seem to be having some contraction. You know, not too many or anything out of the scope. But,
just like pre-Braxton's.
I've had a couple of contractions within the past couple of hours.
Yeah.
And, excuse me, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, I'm in good spirits, so I'm just really, really grateful that so many families are interested and that it's not, I had faith, it's just nice to see it, you know,
yeah.
Like in the flesh, so to speak.
Yes, I get it completely. Well, my husband's here too.
Hi, hello.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, very good.
Good.
So,
We'll just beat to the point here.
Yeah, we have good news, and
okay.
That is that after a lot of prayer and tears and sort of seeking God and asking him for answers and coming together as the families that were open to receiving him as their son, it became really clear after a lot of answers from the Lord and after a lot of questions, and it just became very clear that the Lord was really pointing towards our family.
We're not. We're in as much shock as you probably are.
Oh, wow. My goodness. That makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Like, I don't even know what to say. This has been... I mean, it's just came out of nowhere, and we weren't looking to adopt. It's just totally, like, this is how we know it's totally from the Lord, because we weren't looking. And then God has just been answering every single prayer that we've asked him. Silly, crazy things, which one day we'll have to talk to you about. And it's like,
okay. You
know, like, how many more things? I feel like right now, if we ask God one more thing, he would be like, what's wrong with you? Like, I've given you the answer, and you keep asking me over and over, you know?
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Some pretty supernatural things have happened. And
just in 24 hours.
Just in the last 24 hours.
I would love to hear about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would love to sit down and tell you.
Face to face. Yeah, we'd love to take you out and maybe have dinner or something and just tell you the whole story face to face. But we wanted to call you to tell you that we're committed.
Wow.
Yeah, we're committed to love him and to care for him, and we're grateful for you.
I know you have two children at home, but how does your daughter, I think you said she's 14, right?
Yeah.
She's 14, and she
could... How does she feel about it?
She could not be more excited. I think I had told you about the other baby, and
right.
We had reservations because she just, for some reason, was not on board at all.
Right.
And with
right.
this baby, she just keeps asking. And like when she thought there was a possibility today that he might be for someone else's family, she was sad and she was like, but why? You know, and asking questions. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. So tonight when we asked tonight she just came in my room randomly and she was like, you know, after we told her like, hey, we're going to tell the mom that we would like to adopt him if she'll have us. And, she was like, are you going to wear one of those wraps? Like, where you wear him? And I was like, probably. And she was like, I was like, do you want to wear him? And she was like, she was like, yeah, no one ever lets me wear their babies. And I'm like, so all like that,
accessory.
Yeah, I was like, well, I'm like, he's going to be, you know, you have to be careful with him. And like, of course you can hold him as much.
So she means, what she means by you have to be careful with him is that we were told that this was a very serious case of spina bifida. And, you know, when the baby comes out, they generally have to deliver the baby via C-section because it's too much trauma on the back and the spine is open. You have this membrane and it's just tough. So we were told when he comes out, no one can even touch him and he's going to go right on his belly into the NICU, then prep for surgery, immediate surgery to close him up. And then there was going to be weeks and weeks of other surgeries, including the brain shunt. And so, you know, even in that conversation, as excited as Sailor was, it was a question of, you know, okay, well, how much can we do with him and hold him? It's going to be tough for the first couple of months, probably. And so that was something no one's ever seen before. That was the night that we called. And so now we're in a situation where we've never done this before and neither had the birth mom. And so what do? You're a month and a half or a little less away from the birth of the child and you have to do an adoption and you don't know what you're doing. And so we started asking questions and figuring things out and we discovered it was going to cost about $30,000, $30,000 for a private adoption. I'm going to do some stuff in the future, Lord willing, I'm going to do some stuff in the future about the adoption process and the world right now. It feels very, very much like human trafficking in many respects. And so even for a private adoption, you're looking at like $30,000. We don't have that kind of money to spend. And so we didn't have it. And so when we discovered that it's going to cost about $30,000 and we're about a month and a half away from the birth of the child, we knew we needed to get working and trusting in God. And so I did a video where one night I just presented to everyone the situation. Hey, we weren't ready for this. We're very surprised by this. We're adopting a little boy. Our son is coming in a month and a half, and it's going to cost $30,000 for the adoption process. We don't have it. If you'd like to help in any way, please, you can help here. And so I put that video up. I think it was at 7 o'clock at night is when I put that video up. So I put up the GoFundMe or whatever the thing was and put the video up. And so I went to bed that night, and while I was sleeping, doing nothing, just asking God to provide for what he has placed in our lives, I woke up the next morning to the entire thing satisfied. So in less than 24 hours, God had his people graciously step in alongside of us to help us adopt this little boy. And I want to just say to you, if you're watching right now and you gave to that, thank you. He is just the greatest gift in the world. He is the sweetest little boy you can imagine. He is so gentle, so respectful, so loving. He loves me to death. I mean, I can't even walk out of the house without him hugging and kissing me and loving me. And I mean, he thinks I'm his very best friend, and he's just the greatest. And so we wouldn't have been able to do this if not for God's people stepping in alongside of us and helping financially to make it happen. So I just want to say, this is years later now, but if you gave towards the adoption, I just want to tell you thank you from the bottom of my heart. My wife thanks you. I thank you. My whole family thanks you. It was such a gift. But God answered that prayer in less than 24 hours. I mean, I literally, it's such a beautiful thing to me. It's so symbolic in terms of trusting God, just trust and obey God, and he'll provide for all these things. Is that I didn't really have to even work for it. I put the word out to God's people. And then while I was sleeping, doing nothing, I couldn't be more at rest, more not moving a muscle. God satisfied this need while I was sleeping. And so by the next morning, the entire adoption is funded. So praise the Lord for that. But now we're weeks away from the birth of this little boy. And what we know is that he's on the worst, he's on the spectrum of the best side of the worst case of spina bifida, 2 to 6 weeks in the hospital at Christmas time. And so that was a jolt too. So December 13th was a day scheduled for his C-section. Now, that day, wow, you're so excited. You're thrilled. You're so excited to meet your son. And at the same time, you know, in the back of your mind, this is going to be really hard. We're not going to be able to even touch him today. All we're going to do today is be present and look at him through glass. And we're not going to be able to put hands on him for weeks, probably. That's what we're prepared for. So you're excited, but you're also scared because you're thinking, is it worse maybe than we thought? Is this going to be even worse? Because that's potentially what it is. And so the C-section scheduled December 13th. We go to the hospital. Candy and I go to the hospital. And so we're waiting in the waiting room. And Tabitha is with the birth mom in surgery for the C-section. And so we're just waiting in the waiting room. And then time is going on. It's taking a while. We understood that it would take a while. They had to be super careful with him because of the spina bifida and the membrane and all that's wrong. And so at some point, you know, we're like, well, let's just go to the Starbucks across the street and get some coffee while we're waiting. And so Candy and I go to the Starbucks. We get some drinks. And I'll never forget this for as long as I live. Through this whole process, my wife, without question, was the strongest. There's no question about that. Her boldness about this, her courageous nature, her commitment, her love, her patience, her graciousness towards her husband on this, her prayerfulness. I mean, her prayers, big trust in God. And so we're walking out of Starbucks to go back to the waiting room. And then Candy says to me, she says, are you ready? And I said, yeah, I'm ready. I'm excited. I'm ready. And she says, no, are you ready? And I said, we're ready for what? And she said, are you ready for this maybe to be worse than we think? And I said, of course. He's our son. This is our son. I'm ready for whatever God has given to us. And then out of nowhere, and this just wasn't how I was like acting. We had Christians praying around the world for his healing. So we're going to trust God for that, but we're not making demands on God saying, God, you come down from your throne and you do what I say. But we were asking Christians, and there were thousands of Christians around the world praying for Augustine. But I wasn't this bold. And when she said that to me, she said, are you ready for it to be worse than we think? I said, of course, he's our son. But then I said to her, are you ready? And she said, what do you mean? I said, are you ready? And she said, for what? I said, are you ready for God to completely heal him? And that took her back. I remember her face. She was just taken back by that. Like, and she said, well, of course, you know, yes, yes. It's like, it kind of like, you know, knocked her back into like, you know, her big prayerfulness and courageousness. She got knocked right back into it for me. And it was unexpected because I wasn't quite that bold up to that point. Are you ready for God to completely heal him? And that's the first time I said that to her. And so now we go back into the waiting room. And we're waiting and waiting. Candy's trying to text Tabitha, who's back with the birth mom. And Tabitha's not really responding. And then Tabitha says, he's born. And Candy's messaging saying, how is she? How is he? And she's sending messages, is everything okay kind of a thing? And Tabitha's not responding. And so that doesn't set well, obviously. It doesn't feel right. Something's wrong. And then Tabitha comes out. And she has this solemn, sad look on her face. And she just comes around the corner and she says like something, okay, come with me. And Candy and I look at each other and we were thinking, oh no, it's worse. And so we stand up and we're just following Tabitha. She's just walking slowly, head kind of down. And we walk through these doors and we're going down these hallways. And the NICU is that way. And we turn this way. And I'm thinking in my head as that's happening, okay, why are we going this way? I thought it's that way. And so we're going this way. We're following. And Tabitha is just solemn and her head is down. And so now we're going to post-op. and this is confusing me. I'm not understanding why we're going this direction into post-op. And so we walk through the doors of the post-op room, and what was really weird about that is that it's this big room, and the only person in there is the birth mom and a nurse, and then Tabitha, Candy, and I walking into the room. And so we walk into the room, and I notice that August is on the birth mom's chest. And I'm thinking in my head, this doesn't make sense to me. I thought this wasn't allowed. Why isn't he in the NICU? Why are we not looking at him behind glass? And in my head, I'm just thinking, I don't know what's going on. This isn't allowed is what I was thinking. And this isn't allowed. Why is this happening? And then all of a sudden, Tabitha turns around. She erupts in tears. The nurse starts crying. And everybody in the room, it's just shouts and crying. And all she's saying is he's whole. He's whole. And the nurse takes August and she like unravels him and turns him over on his belly. And she says he's whole, and she's showing he's completely whole. His back is fine. His feet are fine. Everything is perfect. He's perfect. It was the most surreal experience. It feels in some sense kind of out of body. I remember it was just screaming and shouting and crying and tears in the room. And I just fell to my knees and just was praying. And you lose your ability. I've said this before. When you read the miracle stories in the New Testament, I think at times we don't think about what that's like to be in that kind of circumstance where somebody gets their legs back, or the blind can see, or the deaf can hear, or diseases are cured. What was it like for the families and friends around that to witness that? That real human experience to taste and to see that God is so good and these miracles do happen. And you lose your ability to speak. You lose your ability to formulate thoughts. And I remember it was just silence. You can't speak. I witness now. I saw the ultrasounds. I've seen the doctor's reports. I'll give you an example here. If you can see my screen here, let me just pull this up. I have so much stuff. It's a mess today. Sorry, guys. On the screen here, I can't show you the entire thing, but here's one of the medical reports from, this was from, November 21st, I believe. November 21st is this medical report here where she had yet another before the C-section, examination and everything. And you can see right here in the report, fetal spina bifida. I've covered a lot of the stuff up here, but fetal spina bifida, fetal CNS malformation, all that's there on the report. This was just weeks before the actual C-section. And so to now see him completely whole was a shock. And now I'm going to show you the video that we did not share publicly. This was us probably minutes after witnessing the miracle. We're still stunned. Our breath's still taken away. We still don't understand what's happened in front of us. So we shared this video to our church members page. Our church had been praying throughout this whole process. So we shared this video just with them. This was us minutes after witnessing the miracle.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. Yeah. Hello.
So, sorry, we're just still in a bit of shock right now. I just can't talk right now. I don't even know what to say.
Should you come back?
No, I can. Just give me a second. So, I guess...
Well, August is here. He weighs 8 pounds.
7 pounds, 12 ounces.
7 pounds, 12 ounces, 19 inches long. He's beautiful. We haven't shared pictures yet, but we will. And,
So, I'm still in shock. We're all in shock right now. I should start by saying this. Candy went to the doctor's appointment with the mom last week, and the doctors told her that they had seen a lesion in the opening on the other ultrasounds, and that on the spectrum of spina bifida, he was on the worst case side of spina bifida, and that there's a spectrum, and they saw stuff with, of course, they saw the spine coming out, all that stuff. And she just delivered him and he is completely whole. Nothing. There is nothing. Nothing. They... His... I'm... I don't have anything to say.
So praise the Lord. God answered all of our prayers. It's amazing. I think we're still in shock. Sarah is in shock. I think Tabitha is in shock. And yeah. When we got into the room to look at him, they didn't tell us. Sarah, the mom, she didn't tell us. And Tabitha, the friend that was in there with her, who watched him be born in the C-section. When I found out he was born, I'm like, how is he? How's his back? And she wouldn't answer me. I'm like, man, Tabitha's being really weird. Why won't she answer me? And then she was like, hey, we want to let you come see him. And I was like, oh, is he in the NICU? And she wouldn't answer me, just complete not answering me.
Because that's where he was supposed to be.
Because he was supposed to be delivered, no one hold him, go right to the NICU. And she was like, just come with me. And she wouldn't even make eye contact with us. And so when we got in the room, I think the nurse told us, actually, right?
Or I don't even remember what happened.
But anyway, the nurse put him on the table and unwrapped him and flipped him over. And his back is fine. It's completely normal. Yeah, he's fine. So praise the Lord with us. Like, we're so... I mean, we would have loved him anyway. We were ready for... we were ready to take care of him no matter what. But we're just... Well, you see us. That's how we are. We're just overwhelmed and excited.
Yeah. So,
So there you go. It's always emotional to watch that, just reliving that and the feelings and the emotions that come with witnessing a true miracle of God right before your eyes. And again, there's months of ultrasounds and checkups and the appointment that Candy went to as well, doctor's confirmations. It was so clear in the ultrasounds, just repeated ultrasounds over all those months. It was so clear that they had a surgical team and staff on standby, ready to go for all of his surgeries through the 2 to 6 weeks that it would take. And one thing I failed to mention was that when he was born, they're on standby, ready to do this surgery. Everyone's there ready to do it. It's scheduled. And when he's born and he's perfectly whole, there are doctors in the hallway, like showing the medical records, showing the ultrasound, saying this is not a mistake. This we can't explain this. That was the thing that was being said in the hallways. We cannot explain this. Here is the ultrasound. Here is the hole. Here's this next month. Here's the hole. Here's the proof. What are we witnessing right now? And so I'm going to share this one with you too. This has never been shared either. This is a video where Candy was in the hospital room a couple days later, maybe 2 or 3 days later, where the surgeon comes in to examine him. Now, they had been coming into that room and showing each other over that period of days over and over again. But this was where the surgeon comes into the room to examine Augustine. And this guy is one of the most well-known guys in the state that does these surgeries, and he's been doing them for decades. And in here, you're going to hear a question asked, have you ever seen anything like this before? And so, again, you guys are seeing some behind-the-scenes stuff here. This was just a couple days later, and here's the surgeon who was supposed to do the surgery coming in to examine Augustine once again.
I have pictures of, I've got all these pictures of the spine. I mean, it looks like it's open on the
closed.
It's
perfect.
Totally closed.
Still got another one in there?
Oh, maybe? No.
Are you sure? Do you want to?
Oh, my goodness.
Maybe you got two. One's normal and one's still got spine and blood in there.
So you don't feel anything because the pictures show.
Totally normal. What?
So are they still going to do, just to be safe, an ultrasound? Or?
Well, they asked me, do you want an ultrasound? I said no. So what I would do...
I just want to be sure because it was so... They said it was the worst form.
You're going to follow up with Dr. Tian.
Okay.
In about 2 weeks anyway.
But if there's a problem, then there's not
something... There's not a problem.
Okay. Can I tell you my feeling? What my thought is if there was something, though, which I know the images showed, I know there's not anything down. You're a professional. You know what you're doing. But if there is and it's not caught within like the first 3 days, it's going to pose a problem.
But what problem?
But there is no problem.
There's no problem. Okay. There's no little baby there.
Okay. If there what is about something, the saying that there was no septum and then the fluid?
That stuff, ultrasound isn't going to show it very well.
Okay.
Babies, what you need is an MRI.
Okay.
Ultrasound in the back is useless. You've already had ultrasounds in the back.
Right.
It doesn't show anything. You need an MRI.
Okay.
Babies in the first 2 or 3 weeks of birth are really wet and swollen a little and puffy.
Okay. Okay.
And the MRI images are horrible.
Okay. Mm.
So you wait till all that's gone and you do any imaging you're going to do then. So Dr. Tian will get all that.
Okay.
But now it's just, if you did it now, you're going to probably still not be sure.
Okay.
So just be patient. I know you've been through the ringer.
Yeah.
You've been doing this 30 years longer than anybody in
Phoenix.
Have you
ever seen anything like this, though?
Never seen it happen like that.
Stop.
See?
What? Wow.
Yeah.
So there you go. He's been doing it 30 years, never seen anything like that. That was powerful. It's such a whirlwind of crazy events and emotions, and it definitely stirred our souls. It was powerful. So I wanted to play something else for you guys. No, nobody has ever seen this publicly yet either. And so we've experienced this. We bring him home. He is just absolutely lovely. He, his heritage, his ethnicity, he is Persian or Iranian and Guatemalan and Caucasian. And what I have said publicly is it makes a delicious looking human being. He's got the darkest jet black hair. It is super thick and wavy. He has these beautiful, bright blue eyes. He is absolutely handsome. He's going to be a lady killer for sure. He is a beautiful little boy. And again, just the sweetest little boy you'll ever meet. Just so loving, so thoughtful, so gracious, and just brilliant. His mind is brilliant. When he knew like all the names of all the dinosaurs by the time he was 2 years old. He could point them out. He'd correct you on it. And just he hears something once and he's got it memorized for good. He has got a mind on him. I'm excited to see how God's going to use his mind because it is different. It is very, very different. And so just miracles galore and just blessings upon our family galore. And now the weird thing about this video, guys, I apologize for this. I can't figure out why it's doing this. I played it a little bit earlier when I was testing it. For some reason, it's got this weird echo. So I apologize for the echo. I can't seem to do anything to fix it. Maybe we'll have the production guys in the future, if we do something with all of this, correct the audio. But I wanted to play two parts of this for you, and I hope this really blesses you to see. The adoption decree normally takes place within a courthouse, and we did that with our twins. We got to actually go to the courthouse and experience the whole adoption decree in court before the judge. But all this took place in 2020, and you all know what 2020 was. It was the year of COVID and lockdowns and the masks and all the rest. And so, unfortunately, we weren't able to go to the actual courthouse itself. The court hearing and the decree, the adoption decree, took place via Zoom. And so that's what you're going to watch here. And there's just two parts of this I want you to witness because it was really cool. One means a lot to me because it was such a special moment for me to be able to witness with all of my wife had poured into this, her courage, her prayerfulness, her trust in God, her confidence, her peace about the entire thing. She was very courageous through the whole process and just disciplined and worked hard and got everything done needed to be done. And this moment, I think, was a moment that it's like her soul was waiting for the moment. And so the emotions and everything were all contained. And so what you're viewing here, this is the way I felt it, was it was the moment my wife had been praying for and asking God about as his daughter. And now the moment is there where the decree is going to be official. And then you got to see my wife, the cracks come in a little bit in my wife. And so this is her part where she's being asked if she wants to adopt him. And again, I apologize for the echo here, but it is what it is.
Have you heard all the questions that I asked your husband this afternoon?
Yes.
Have you heard all of his answers?
Yes.
And is it your desire? Do you agree with all of his answers?
Yes.
And is it your desire that you adopt this child today?
Yes.
Does your honor have any questions for mom?
I do not.
Okay, then your honor, before.
So that was her portion being asked by the attorney before the court and the judge. And this next part, I will thank God for forever. This was the part where the judge gives the adoption decree. The lawyer explains the story, and here it is.
No, there's no.
Oh, let me get a little. Let me get a little further back there. Okay, so
that in the delivery room there would be a team of doctors and nurses waiting for the child to be born, and the child be whisked away and taken into surgery. And they wouldn't be even able to hold him for 2 weeks because he'd be recovering on his stomach and they would not be allowed to hold him. Candy was with birth mom at an ultrasound and she saw the hole in the baby's spine. She saw it. And then in the delivery room, when Justin was being born, people started screaming and crying and saying, there's no hole. There's no
goodness. This is a miracle.
Jeff is a pastor at a church in South Phoenix, and people all over the world have been praying for this child. So
we know the power of prayer, right? The power of prayer was phenomenal in this case. So not only was it divine, it was a divineness from the beginning. Like, you know, got rid of the other parents and got the right parents.
That's right. That's right. So
that's a blessing.
I'm just so glad I got a chance to share it with you because it just thrills me every time, and I am so honored to be able to present this couple to your honor and to ask that you would find that they are fit and proper parents, that the adoption would be in Augustine's best interest, and that you order the adoption finalized today.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for that testimony as well. Based on the information I've heard from the parties, the court is going to find that this court has jurisdiction. The requirements for Title VIII have been met. The child is free for adoption. The petitioner is a fit and proper person to adopt this child. The adoption would be in the best welfare of the child. So therefore, the court is going to grant the petition that was filed on July 21st, 2020. The court is going to order that the petitioner and the child should now have a relationship of parent and child. The court is going to order that the child's name shall be changed as indicated on the record by the petitioners. The court is going to indicate on the record that this is truly a blessing from God and it's a miracle for this family to be chosen to be the parents of this awesome young man. Congratulations, the adoption is final. Yay!
Now, I love that the record of the court reflects that this is a miracle from God. That's on the official record of the court. Praise the Lord for that. God got his glory and his credit in the adoption decree. And so I hope this has been a blessing to everybody. Wanted to do something a little different today and do something that would bless your soul for the day, something that all reflects to the glory of God. And tell you this amazing story. Now, the plan is next week, Candy, my wife, is going to join me, and we're going to talk about the amazing things that happen in the adoption of our twins as well. So she'll be on in studio with me. Hopefully, you guys will tune in for that, and it'll be a blessing to you as well, because that story in itself has incredible twists and turns and miracles all on its own. And so be in prayer for that, because we do hope that that episode, these episodes, would lead to many other Christian families opening their hearts and their homes to fatherless children, to orphans, and to consider adoption. I read at the beginning of the episode today, James chapter 1, verse 27, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans, fatherless children, and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. At the heart of the gospel message is the central theme of adoption. You see that in the New Testament itself, that God takes people who are strangers, who are far off, who are not near, and he calls them his own. He takes them in as a loving, eternal, heavenly father. He loves them. He sets his love upon them. He calls them to himself, and they become his children. Ephesians chapter 2 says about our condition before Jesus. It says, you were dead in your sins and trespasses, but God made you alive together with him. Dead in your sins and trespasses. God made you alive together with him. By grace, you've been saved. And it says there in that same text, we know that portion. It says that you are by nature, children of wrath. So we go from a place of being dead and children of wrath to being adopted by God, saved by God, and we call God Father. And so at the heart of our own relationship with God is this relationship of adoption, where we're the strangers, we're far off, we're the foreigners, and God comes and chases us down. God sets his love upon us. God gives us all the rights and the privileges and the gifts of children, and we didn't deserve that. And we are his children. We call him Father, and we're going to call him Father forever because of the spirit of adoption. And so it is such a gift. It is such a gift to experience adoption. The love that you have for this child, the unique nature of the whole situation, this gift that God just delivers, this beautiful human being to your family, and it's your son, and it's that God moves the entire universe and everything happening in it to bring all the little pieces together to bring this child into your home, and you set your love upon them. It is something that I hope you get to experience. You know, there's been a lot of Christian ministries over the years that have tried to speak these truths into Christians' lives, to have them open up their hearts and homes to children and to adopt children. And there's been a lot said about the fact that we have, you know, orphanages and foster care system that are just full and overwhelmed with children. And if we would just, as the Christian church, work together, all of us together, to have at least some families in all of our churches open to adoption and adopting children, we would clear out this system. We would clear it out. The Christian church can solve the problem of fatherless children. We need to do it in the area of abortion, and we're doing that, saving their lives and preserving their lives from death. And we need to do it, on the other hand, in the area of adopting these children, adopting them. And that's what convicted me. So let me just give you this heart-to-heart for a moment here. I showed you at the beginning of the episode that emotional moment and that weight that I had during the conference where I realized the hypocrisy I had in myself. I was saying that we need to do all that we can as the church to protect these fatherless children from death, that we need to stop people from killing them, which is absolutely true. We need to. But what I missed in myself is the passion that I had to preserve their lives from death was not the same passion I had to love them throughout their life. We need to want both things. We do. If we're in this fight to end abortion, to stop them from killing the fatherless children, we need to also put some flesh on that faith and that belief by opening our homes to adopt these children. I can tell you this, it'll be one of the hardest things you've ever done, and it'll be one of the greatest gifts you've ever received. Both things together. It will be those two things, and it will transform you, it'll sanctify you, and man, what a gift. I cannot even imagine my life without my son, August. He is truly, in my life, I've accomplished a lot of things. I've received a lot of gifts in my life. I've accomplished everything that I ever wanted to accomplish. I've been successful, and in everything I put my hand to, God has blessed with those things, and that's been tremendous gifts. I have an amazing wife, an amazing family. I have so much to be thankful to God for, and so much that I'm humbled about. And when I think about all the great successes that I've had in my life, you know, even in martial arts, accomplishing everything I ever wanted and winning all the world's biggest tournaments and, you know, even doing things that I always dreamt of as a little boy, like being a Ninja Turtle and all that stuff's very special to me, and I'm thankful to God for it. But nothing even comes close in comparison to how I feel about my son, Augustine. And it's a gift, and it's a gift that I hope you get to experience. And so I do pray that in watching all of this, it wouldn't just be something that you praise God for and worship God in. Do that. But I do pray also that you would start praying and reflecting on what God may be calling you to do in this ministry of adopting children. It's not easy. It's a long process at times. It's a tough process at times. It's an expensive process every time. And we need to put an end to that. We got to stop that. But it is worth your whole life. It is truly worth your entire life. And so if the Lord is piquing your curiosity right now, whetting your appetite, I would ask you not to ignore that like I was ignoring it. I would ask you to start investing time in prayer, saying, Lord, are you calling me to this? And if you're in the middle of that process right now, you're in it, I would just call you not to be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't faint. Trust him. Keep praying big prayers. Pray big prayers like my wife prayed. Pray like my wife. Big prayers, big faith, trusting God for big things, and just keep trusting him. Keep trusting him. Keep trusting him and keep hoping in him and be at peace knowing that he's totally sovereign. And trust him with big prayers, big asks. That's what I learned from my wife through this whole process. It's okay to ask God for the big, big things and to trust him to do it as your loving father. And so if you're in the middle of that process right now, it's been a long time, I understand it's difficult and it's discouraging. He is faithful. He is faithful and he is a father to you. Just trust him. You're asking God for a very good thing. Lord, help me to love these fatherless children. Lord, let me adopt. You're asking him for a very good thing. Trust him as a father as you ask him to fulfill that prayer. And so next week, the plan is, again, to have my wife right here in the studio with me to talk about another amazing story and to show you footage and everything of the adoption of the twins, born 29 weeks, premature, and 2.5 months in the hospital. It was a pretty wild journey. And one of my daughters, Piper, she almost died numerous times. We didn't think that she was going to make it. Neither did the nurses and doctors. But she's with us now. And they're at home. And they are as much gifts as Augustine. So we're going to tell you that story as well next week. If you would, share this content, let everyone know. Wanted to point everyone to something as we're ending the show here today. We have a lot of amazing friends and supporters of the ministry. And so I want to point you to them. First thing is you go to apologiastudios.com and go get all the episodes, sign up for all access, join us in this ministry. But also you can go to the store, get all the tracks, get all the gear and the t-shirts and the swag and all that stuff. And you can get pre-sip coffee there. Make sure you guys check all that out. IonLayer.com. You guys know that I'm a fan. I do it anyways. And the reason we put it on the show and we're directing everyone to Ion Layer is these guys are Christians, solid dudes, and they've come up with something amazing. You've heard me talk about NAD benefits. Just research it on your own. NAD benefits for health, longevity, well-being, all that. NAD is something that is involved in nearly every biochemical process in your body. When you're young, you have this abundance of this. They nickname it the fountain of youth. As you get older, you lose the NAD that you have, a lot of it. And however, if you went without NAD in your system for more than 30 seconds, you'd be dead. And so it's very important in how God built our bodies. But people have over the years experienced the tremendous benefits of NAD injections. And so high dose NAD injections. The problem is it is extremely uncomfortable and painful to get an NAD injection. NAD, for some reason, as you're putting it into your system like this, it's intense. I mean, people really struggle. There's like pain, it's hard to breathe, nausea, stomach hurts, all that stuff. So what they've done at Ion Layer is they give you a high dose of NAD and high dose NAD treatments, and you do it through a medical patch on your arm. And so you get this high dose of NAD through this medical patch over 14 hours throughout the day, and there's no pain at all. And what's amazing is that when you get the kit, you get 6 treatments, and each treatment is such a high dose. If you comparable, I talked to an IV tech, comparable when they do it, it's about $750 to $1,000 per dose. you get six of them here at a fraction of the cost. And so if you're like me right now, you're getting later in the years and you're like, I want to get healthy. I want to be well for my family. I want to try to do some of the biohacking technology we have these days. Nothing better in my mind. So you go to ionlayer.com, ionlayer.com. Go and type into the coupon code Apologia in all caps. You get a huge discount, and they support the ministry of Apologia Studios, and you get all the benefits of NAD. So go check it out. Go look it up. Go look up NAD benefits, and then go to ionlayer.com. Do it, and I'm telling you, I believe it'll bless your life. Also, go to Heritage Defense. Our friends over at Heritage Defense, it's a legal advocacy organization. Here's the deal. Look, if you guys are homeschooling, especially, and in the context we live today with, you know, people trying to suppress free speech and, you know, people going to jail even over the years for their commitments to Christ and the things that they say publicly, especially in the UK right now, man, it's getting bad over there and we're not far behind them in many respects. Hopefully it never comes here, but, especially if you're homeschooling, you need to have access to somebody you can call. If any three-letter agency shows up at your door, you just hand them the phone and say, talk to my lawyer. I've said this so many times, you've heard me say it. It doesn't make any sense to me. The price that Heritage charges for you to have this service, to literally be able to put them on the phone and hand the phone through the door to somebody, talk to my attorney, it doesn't make any sense to me. And so it's just, it's crazy not to do it. Heritage Defense is where you guys all want to go. HeritageDefense.org. Get connected with them, get on board with them so you have access to protection, especially in a time that we live today. Go also to Amtac Blades. One of our good friends, Bill Rapier, ex-Navy SEAL DevGru, development group, DevGru operator. He has an amazing business, great blades, axes. I mean, if you're a guy, you need a good blade for self-defense or just, you know, regular stuff cutting. If you know knife fighting and self-defense with a knife, when you hold one of these knives, you're like, this is a guy that knows how to knife fight. He built it because he knows how to use it. So if you go to Amtac Blades, A-M-T-A-C, Blades, AmtacBlades.com, and you purchase something, he's going to give you 5% off, and then he also donates 5% to End Abortion Now to help us to stop the murder of children. And finally, a couple things, futureofchristendom.org. I'm doing a conference in Pennsylvania in October, Future of Christendom Conference. Go to futureofchristendom.org. I'm very excited about this conference. My friend Eli Ayala is going to be there. We're doing stuff on apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. So if you're able to get to Pennsylvania, get there, put your hand in mine. Let's shake hands. Let's have some fellowship. And the conference, I've already looked at some of the talks. I'm very excited to give some of these talks. There's going to be a debate at the conference. futureofchristendom.org. And finally, like you saw at the beginning of the episode today, Dominion Wealth Strategists, hook up with them. Hook up with them. If you're making plans for the future, building wealth for your family, remember the proverb says that a righteous person builds up this for their grandchildren. And so it's a blessing to your family, to your grandchildren, to leave behind some wealth to bless them. It's a good thing. And so Dominion Wealth Strategists will help you to do that. If you want to navigate that, how can I plan for the future, start building something for my family and future generations, hook up with them at reformed.money, reformed.money. So we love all of these guys, all their businesses. We're thankful for them. That's why we point them to you guys. We don't just let anybody put their stuff on Apologia Studios. These are things that we actually believe in, and they bless us. We believe they bless your lives. And so go check them out, everybody. Big news, if you're still on right now, big news. October 24th in Moscow, Idaho. October 24th in Moscow, Idaho. I am partnering with Bradley Pierce, our constitutional attorney, to debate Doug Wilson and Toby Sumter, our friends, Douglas Wilson, Toby Sumter, pastors Douglas Wilson, Toby Sumter. We're going to be debating on the issue of smash mouth incrementalism versus abolitionism. Very, very excited about this. This is an answer to prayer. I'm thankful for these men, and I'm also thankful for the opportunity to talk through the Word of God, the Scriptures, about what ought we to be doing as God's church in the area of child sacrifice and the murder of the preborn. And so we're on opposite ends in some respects, but also in others, not at all. But it's just enough of a difference that is actually destroying our ability to get some of these bills passed that we get in across the country, because it is we would say teaching things that ultimately lead to compromise within the Christian church and our witness. And so it's an important debate with brothers in the faith who believe everything we believe about abortion in terms of it being murder, but this is in terms of methodology. How do we actually abolish abortion? And so October 24th in Moscow, Idaho, myself, Bradley Pierce, against Doug and Toby. We are thrilled about this. We couldn't be more thankful to God for answering his prayers in this. And so go check it out. I put the link to get tickets for it on my social media platforms on X and on Facebook. And so I don't have it in front of me right now, but go check it out. And we'll see you right here next week on Apologia Radio.